Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's Paul Hamilton. He has the facts to back up his opinions. On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
It's such a pure laugh, Paul Hamilton. Anytime you're able to get him to chuckle along. It's one of the better sounds that you can have in all of radio there. Also, just the voice of Paul Hamilton is a fantastic sound for radio. And that's exactly what we have here on the Western Hotline. Paul, welcome in. And you are out there in Philadelphia.
I am.
And I'd be no less surprised, of course, about that, Paul. Sabres starting a six-game road trip here tonight against the Philadelphia Flyers. Puck drop at 7:30. Pregame will start at 6:30 here on WGR. Paul, the Sabres head on the road, and I call it a little bit of a crossroads for the season. They have the worst road record in the National Hockey League. They've only won twice away from KeyBank Center. And now here you are, six games on the road. And I would imagine that, ideally, you want to try to at least pick up half of these games on the six-game road trip because, A, it more than doubles your road win total on the season, but B, more importantly, it allows you to get back into the thick of things in an Atlantic division that refuses to leave anyone behind right now.
Well, they have won two of their last three on the road, but this is actually a weather crossroads for them. Do you realize 40 degrees in Philadelphia today, Friday in Winnipeg, it'll be minus -9.
Oh, that's Winnipeg's infamously frigid, though. Paul, if you're going, make sure you've got the extra parka and the other extra parka.
I've been there once when it was over zero Fahrenheit, and it was actually in the 40s. It was a heat wave.
Yeah, right.
Because usually it's like minus -22 in Winnipeg, and then it's like going to Miami to Minnesota at minus -4.
Oh, my God.
That time it was 42 in Winnipeg. You could actually walk outside because Winnipeg is a city. You can walk inside.
Mm-hmm.
But it takes you like 25 minutes to walk to the arena. I found out if you walk outside, it only takes 10 when it was 40 degrees
you
out.
You just don't want to walk outside more often than
that. The warmest I had ever been in Winnipeg before that was minus 11.
Oh, my God.
That had been the warmest I had ever been. It had been as cold as minus 27.
Oh.
Overnight at some point in Winnipeg. And then I got there in the 40s once. And then we got to Minnesota. It was 63. It was like, wow.
Yeah,
how did this happen?
Talk about a heat wave.
How did we get Winnipeg and Minnesota at 42 and 63? But no, not this time. Minus -9.
Not this time around. But Paul, speaking of minus -9, there's nobody on the team with that kind of plus minus rating. But that's close to their goal differential, oddly enough. This Atlantic Division, though, Paul, it refuses to leave people behind. It refuses to leave teams behind. Matter of fact, so much so that the defending champion Florida Panthers, wrong sport, Derek. The defending champion Florida Panthers are in last place in the Atlantic, and Buffalo is only 4 points out of the top three there in the division. So This is an opportunity, though, for them, because this division refuses, outside of Tampa Bay, to get going.
Well, I tend to go by points percentage because it takes games in hand out of the equation. So points percentage, they are tied with the Florida Panthers for dead last in the Eastern Conference at 500. And the problem here is the Sabres have been left behind, and I'll tell you why. They've won 6 out of 9 games, so they've picked up 12 out of 18 points. 12 out of 18. And haven't passed anybody.
Mm-hmm.
They're still tied for last place in the Eastern Conference. They caught Florida, but they haven't passed them at 500. So that just shows you the magnitude of the hole they have dug for themselves. They have picked up 12 out of 18 points and haven't passed anybody.
And Paul,
they can't do much better than that. I can't see this team ripping off a 10-game winning streak. I just don't think they have that in them. So they can't do much better than 12 out of 18 points. So how are they going to move up here? How are they going to catch anybody? How are they going to get in the playoffs? I mean, it is just a huge hole that they dug for themselves, and that once again, they did it before Thanksgiving. They always have done it before Christmas, almost every year but one. But there have been a couple, including this one, where they've dug the hole before Thanksgiving.
Paul, one of the reasons for that hole, though, is the road performance. As you mentioned, they've won 2 of their last 3 on the road, but it has still become the worst road record in hockey, and it's by a lot. Now you have 6 games in a row away from KeyBank Center where it is probably imperative to this team that they at least go 500 here on a Western Canada trip.
Maybe the win in Minnesota, when you go in there on a back-to-back, you had to travel, they didn't. They back-to-back, but it was 2 home games. And you beat a team that had won 7 in a row on the road when you had to do the traveling. And also change time zones. Back-to-backs, you normally don't change time zones. They did. So maybe that win can show them that, you know, they're capable of winning on the road. The other win, they play 1 period and won the game. 1 period and an overtime. They were behind 4-1.
That's right. They
came back in the 3rd period and won the hockey game. Well, actually, they got the 2nd goal right near the end of the 2nd period. And then won the game, tied it, did something they hadn't done in, what, 8 years. And came back from a 3-goal deficit to win and then won that game. So 2 of their last 3 games on the road, they have done things that could give them some confidence. Now, Pittsburgh would not give you confidence. That game was there for the taking if you wanted it. They didn't get any points at all from a team they're chasing. And as Lindebrough said, that was an okay game. But still, okay usually isn't good enough, but it almost was. They had some outnumbered chances in the 3rd period to tie the game and couldn't. You know, when the game was 3-2, of course, the empty netter, every time the Sabres pull their goal, the empty netter goes in. I mean, that's just Sabre hockey. They have not scored 6-on-5 yet this year, but they've given up 9 on 6-on-5 and have led the league for 2 straight years in that category. I don't know why they are so horrendously bad when they pull a goalie, but it's a done deal. It's going in their net. In Pittsburgh, at least they had 2 or 3 really good chances. They normally don't even get that. They usually just give the puck away, and it's a breakaway into your empty net, and that's that. But I've never seen a team this bad. It's even if they had been competing the whole game, for whatever reason, they don't compete when it's 6-on-5. They basically lose all the battles. They lose the face-offs and lose all the battles, and it's in their net. I've just never seen anything like it.
Paul, one of the ways to help out, though, with a little bit of the face-off woes that they have is getting back a player that's really good in the circle, and that's Josh Norris. He comes back in a big way against Winnipeg with 2 goals, an assist, and effectively, Paul, we talked about how they were ravaged with injury with their top 6 in particular and lost 2/3 of their starting line. This is the top line that was promised to us and showed the flashes in the preseason between Norris, Thompson, and Zach Benson.
Yeah, I mean, Josh Norris is, you know, normally a very good face-off person. Now he's only played two games and is 41%, so that's not a big, you know, that's basically one, you know, two games that he's played and was 41%. That will improve, I'll guarantee that.
Yeah, his career
the guy that,
tells you.
What's that?
His career tells you it'll go back up.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The guy who, when he played, it was, again, only four games. I wasn't all that impressed with him other than faceoffs was Justin Danforth. He was 54.8. And throughout his career, he's been good at faceoffs. So with him out of the lineup, they do miss that part of him. You know, McLeod is way down. He was much better last year. He's at 45.5. So they really don't have guys. I mean, Greenway played center for a game or two, is at 58.3. But again, he hasn't taken that many draws. So Norris has to be that guy. And, you know, I, again, you know it, I know it. He'll be well over 50%.
Now, looking, though, at the chemistry of that line, though, Norris, Thompson, Benson. Thompson had been playing pretty well at center, at least offensively. He was getting back into a groove of things. He had a six-game goal-scoring streak. It did look like Thompson was finding his offensive game again. But then Norris comes back in the lineup, and Tage has moved back to the wing, and that's the confidence that they have in the player that they made this trade for last year. And it's delivered on almost immediately when he draws in the lineup.
Yeah, and Thompson last year on the wing, his, as Lindy Ruff said, his numbers, his analytic numbers are much better on the wing. And he did score 44 goals in the wing last year.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like he's a complete bust there. You know, and I think he'll be fine on the wing with Norris as his centerman. You know, I think, you know, that they'll combine and be just fine playing that way. So, I mean, people were all, why are they moving Thompson? Well, the Doan, Thompson, and Tuck line had kind of played out. They weren't playing as well. And Norris is not a winger. Tage can play the wing. Norris is not a winger. You didn't trade for Norris for him to play the wing. You know, so that's why Tage is over in the wing. And again, Lindy Ruff said the numbers will tell you Tage is a much better winger than he is a centerman.
So, Paul, when it comes to it, though, tonight, Colton Ellis from practice, it looked like he had his own net yesterday in practice, the indication that he would be the guy starting tonight. This three-goalie rotation, it's another year of being agitated by the Sabres carrying three goalies once again, at least in my eyes. But even you're starting to hear it a little bit from Lindy Ruff of, it sounds like he wants one of these guys to take the reins and there to be a decision made on what can you do about this roster when you're carrying three goalies again.
Yeah, and it's hard to get somebody. Now, I think Luukkonen's getting in a groove. He has, I'm going by memory, I believe I wrote the other day that in his last six games, his goals against is 2.21, and he has a save percentage around 910, something like that. So his last six games, if you put them together, five of them are starts. The other one was he didn't play the first 6 minutes. That was the one where Lyon
in Colorado.
Yep. And so he played most of the game. He just didn't start it. And so you're starting to maybe get a little consistency out of him. I mean, his goals against is really good. His save percentage still isn't great. 899 is not a good save percentage. But a 2.51 is much better than Ellis or Lyon, who are both well over three. And it's funny, the Sabres are an 899 save percentage team. Ellis is 898, Luukkonen is 899, and Lyon is 899. So I think we have a pretty good gauge on what these goalies are as far as save percentage. They're an 899 save percentage team when it comes to that. So, I did like the way Ellis came back in Minnesota. He had to sit in that Calgary game for a while, and I didn't like that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he was going to play that Friday against Chicago anyway because it was time to give him a rest. But I would have thrown him in on that Sunday game. Absolutely. I wouldn't want that kid. He only had one bad game. And I wouldn't want that kid sitting on that game. Now, as it turned out, he was fine. He played very well in Minnesota. Should have got one of the stars as I almost said North Stars, because they were wearing those North Star jerseys.
That's right, yeah.
As was the Wild's goaltender, too. Nice looking jerseys, by the way.
They are.
But, you know, I thought both of them should have been stars, even though they both kind of fell apart in the shootout. But yeah, and you know, he made two phenomenal saves on Faber in the overtime, because remember, Tage Thompson blew a tire behind the net. He's totally out of the play, so it's 3-on-2 the other way, all the way up ice. Faber, he has to make a great save on Faber off the 3-on-2, and then Faber gets the puck and comes right back at him all by himself, basically, and he makes a great save on that one. So, I he only faced three shots in the third period, but the first one in the first minute was Boldy, who's been red hot from the slot. He was open in the slot, and he made a big save there. So, you know, what Lindy Ruff talks about, the big saves at the big time. He didn't face oodles of shots, so to speak, but he did make some big saves along the way against a team that had won seven straight games and knows how to put the puck in the net. So I thought that was a very good rebound game for him. Now, Lindy Ruff said the reason you didn't see him last game, they were in the plane, as Lindy Ruff put it, for like, what did he say, 4 to 6 hours? Ooh. So I'm wondering, was it weather? Or because the weather was not great in Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
So did they get held up by weather or a mechanical problem with the plane or something like that? So he said the earliest anybody would have gotten to bed was like 4:30 in the morning. And so Ellis has battled back spasms at times. So he just didn't, with that kind of rest or no rest, he didn't want to throw him right back in, so that became a Luukkonen game, and Ellis now is back for this one.
It does look like, Paul, and this is the last thing we got to get going here, but I am intrigued about how they are going to handle this rotation going forward, because even Lindy Ruff a couple games ago had mentioned that the difficulty of having three goalies on the roster and trying to coach it.
He's said that probably 4 or 5 times. Yep. He's that one just, for some whatever reason, caught people's attention. It's about the 5th time he's said it.
Yeah.
So he's been pretty consistent about that.
Yeah, and we'll see what happens. There's got to be a move made, but all we can do is...
Gotta.
Yeah.
What, did somebody fire the GM and I missed it?
I'm going to keep saying they've got to do it, but, you know, we'll see. All we can do is project.
He gets frozen. He gets frozen, yep, when things go wrong. So that's where we're at right now.
That is where we're at. So right now we just have to watch, Paul, and see what happens starting tonight, and we'll hear you on pregame later on tonight here.
Sounds good. Take care.
Thanks, Paul. Always good to talk to you there. Paul Hamilton on the Westher Hotline.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Tough start to the trip for the Sabres last night in Philadelphia. The good news is no more Eastern Conference teams on the remainder of it. It was challenging, to say the least, in Philly. But like for maybe shorter moments of time as opposed to the entirety of the game. But those shorter moments absolutely derailed the potential, you know, quest for victory.
It didn't start good at
there?
All. And you, some, I'm there.
It's like you were in a trance. You were and I wasn't even saying anything relevant or important or insightful.
Yeah, I think my gut, I think that says my connection is unstable. So that may be as why when we put a graphic, I'll reset. But how about this? It didn't start. Okay, so let me reset. I'll come you right back. You talk about the what happened in the game. I'll come right back. I'll reset.
Okay, this is called the game recap Duffer version. And it was so good to see how strong this team was out of the blocks. I mean, you couldn't have asked for a better scenario. Immediate power play success, missed opportunity right after that. And then, while on the man advantage, took two penalties to put themselves in a brief 3-on-5 deficit. And ultimately, the first goal of the game for Philadelphia becomes a huge talking point. Not because you squandered the power play opportunity and put yourself in that position, but because it was challenged. The challenge did not go their way. And Philadelphia then rolled into a 3-goal in 59-second stretch. And within that, sloppy play, which is unfortunately a phrase that you have heard the coach and or players utter from time to time, did them in this sequence. Whether it was plays behind the net that didn't lead to a proper breakout, or especially in the case of the third goal, Benson's, you know, failed exit from the zone going off Thompson. And then it continued in the second period, even though Buffalo would sustain a pretty prolonged stretch of shots and shot attempts to try to get back in it. The only time they did feel like they were back in it was the Bo Byram goal. And within less than a minute, again, the opposition scores and restores a 3-goal advantage. Now, within that time, it didn't feel like some of the other incidents this year where it was the very next shift. And the only reason that it didn't feel that way is because there was a commercial break in between. But what was, you know, unfortunate for the Sabres was it was the McLeod line that was out there, kind of, you know, made a poor play in their own zone, got stuck there for the faceoff, commercial break. They come out of the commercial break using the same line, and they had multiple, you know, similar plays that resulted in the Flyers taking that 5-2 lead. So you look at this situation, they've lost 3 in a row in Philadelphia, going back to losing both their last year, and they'll obviously see the Flyers at KeyBank Center in just a couple of weeks here. But the biggest talking point is undoubtedly, and it has been for quite a while now, what to do in these, you know, crease situations. Is it goalie interference? Is it not? This was a game-changing moment. And obviously, we can hear from the head coach in this situation because they thought, and part of it is based on the reaction from Colton Ellis, that there might have been goalie interference. Let's hear from Lindy.
And we've had a couple challenges I thought definitely wouldn't go. Mm-hmm. If you don't challenge, you're never going to know. We knew it was going to be a light challenge. But at the same time, I saw goals taken away that were a lot less than that. You know, we felt that, you know, his stick got into our goalie's blocker, and whether that was going to be enough or not, you know, you couldn't really tell. It looked like the body was inside the paint, but the skates weren't. You know, I mean, he felt he was interfered with, and, you know, that's part of my reaction, too, is, you know, if the goalie is that adamant about it, and his reaction says, then something definitely happened to affect him on the save. You know, we took a tough penalty. We gave him a short 5-on-3. You know, penalty killing would have been good for us. We failed to clear the puck on the first one. We clear the puck, and that power play's over. You know, our puck play wasn't as good. We started the game with poor puck play. It cost us on the third goal. Our puck play cost us on probably 3 of the goals.
Yeah. And there's a lot to unpack there in the comments from the head coach.
I'm back. I'm back in full stable.
I'm well aware. I was just going to continue the conversation there.
So, you know, we're trying to dissect the moment.
And, yes.
And, but here's the thing. Like, this is not, oh, they shouldn't have challenged because it ended up causing them three goals against in 59 seconds. Mm-hmm. They're all separate moments, and they all have their very distinct issues to them. And I think before we dive too much into the goaltender interference, it's like the penalties that Thompson and Timmins took that led to that. Like, these are frustrating moments for a team that was trying to build upon the previous two games and take a multi-goal lead early against Ersson and the Flyers. And Ersson, historically, and again last night, has been very good against Buffalo.
It's been good. Not that he had to be excellent, but he was good. So you're right. Like, they were lucky to be up 1-0 on that power play goal, because that power play did not generate anything until that pass to the slot to Zucker, and it's in the back of the net. But there was not really anything threatening from the power play. But you're like, hey, maybe that's the jolt. Like, even Jody Schiller's like, hey, the Sabres started with a power play goal against Winnipeg, and it got them going. So mm-hmm. I'm like, maybe that will get them going. And they get that second power play, and again, that second power play didn't generate anything. And that penalty by Tage was a bad penalty. It was a... So I felt like there was... If you consider the energy tank, and I'm not saying like, oh, we're tired or whatever, but the amount of energy of electricity you put into the game, like if 100 is the max, I felt like they put 20. Like that's what it felt like to start the game. Mm-hmm. And Tage on that play, like... It was 15. It was like below that. Like he grabbed the puck, loses it. I'm going to hook. There's a penalty. You're on the power play after a bad start. And I know Tage took a lot of ownership of what happened after the game, talking about communication and, you know, making better plays and getting some good energy. But that was not something that you would want your leaders to be doing early in the game.
And the Timmins penalty is a play that it has been talked about for decades in the NHL.
Yes.
Because it has the potential to be dangerous when you hit a player on the top of the pants in an awkward position near the boards. It's called 50% of the time, quite frankly. And unfortunately for Buffalo, it got called in that moment.
I was very torn on that call, because for me, there's a difference between a push where you get the guy to go shoulders first, like the body weight going forward, mm-hmm. and a push down just at the back of the pants to just make you kind of jolt backwards a little mm-hmm. bit. And I thought Timmins did that. So I didn't think, to me, that was like, man, that should have been a penalty. Now, you're right. It gets called about, it depends what the look you're seeing from the referee. Like, like he pushed him going forward or he pushed him going down. Mm-hmm. So after the replays, I was like, they could have let that one go. But you already know you're chasing at that moment. You're the Sabres were chasing the Flyers, you know, and you're reaching with a hook. You're going with the cross check. You're going in those. And was the second goal a bad bounce? Yes. Zegras throws it on net, goes off a stick. It's in. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But you're not putting yourself in the right place mm-hmm. at that moment. Did the goalie interference challenge like affect at all? It was a part of the whole thing, but I could have seen that game be 3-1 Flyers, even if the Sabres would have won that challenge, because that's the way the game was going. Mm-hmm. It wasn't going good for the Sabres at that time.
So would you have challenged or not?
So there was three goalie interference challenge last night in the league, one in the Sabres game, two in the Washington San Jose game. And one was clear. It was going to be a good goal. One was, in my opinion, clear. It shouldn't have counted, and they counted it. And one was in between. And this one, the Buffalo one, to me, was in between. I understand Colton Ellis' reaction when he tries to reach with the blocker, and he can't because of the positioning and the Flyers player there. And is there a little contact? Yes. So I understand that. I don't think the league could make those plays goalie interference, because you are going to run into a lot more problems mm-hmm. if you make that goalie interference. So Was that a good challenge? I'm okay with the challenge because I do think there is contact. I do think the goalie is like, what the, like, I couldn't make the save. Did I think it was going to come back? No. I thought it was going to be a good goal. So I'm fine with the challenge. And again, the challenge is not the problem. Your penalty kill's been good. And you know what? How about you put a challenge out to everybody? Hey, you know what? Like, it's, we had a chance to go up 2-1. Mm-hmm. It's 1-1. 2-0, I should say, on the power play. We're sleepy. It's 1-1. We challenged. We didn't get it. Let's go kill a penalty and let's go play some hockey here. Right. And instead it went the other way.
And what preceded the tying goal at 1 was the unfortunate, you know, turnover by Tuck as he was trying to clear the zone. 8 seconds later, it's in the back of the net. But what actually preceded the fluky goal that put Philadelphia up for good was Ellis had a misplay behind the net. And 30 seconds later, the bad bounce happens, and then you're down 2-1. And then you have the failed clear from Benson off Thompson, and not a lot of urgency or communication in the 3 seconds that followed that, which allowed for the backdoor play to make it 3-1. So, but then on
three goals in less than a minute, and all three were preventable. And it's not the goalie interference challenge that would have prevented that. It's what you did on the ice.
And only 3 shots on goal at the other end for more than the first 15 minutes. And they only ended up with 4 in the first period, despite having multiple power play opportunities. So it's a game where you can easily just make a blanket statement as to why and when it was lost, but there were many other components, as there often is, to what leads to you not sustaining the success that they had found in the previous 2 games.
So, again, right, was it a couple of games ago I was talking about you take 2 steps forward, you take 2 steps back, a step forward, a step back. Like, it's time to just be able to put 5, 6, 7 steps forward and say we are walking in one direction. And, you know, in the last 10, Sabres are 6-4. Okay, do 6-4, 6-4, 6-4. You're probably going to run out of room and runway because you're not going to get the amount of points and games that you need. So you need 6-2-2. You need 7-3. That's what you need. Yep. And I felt like last night was one of those games that you needed to go and keep walking forward. And if you get a point, but you're playing a good game, that's fine. But when Lindy, after the game, keeps talking about puck plays, like managing the puck. Okay, so the Sabres record right now, as we're speaking, is a game under NHL 500 and 11-12-4. In those 12, and let's call them 16 losses, what do you think? 90%? Like, in the 16 losses, 12, 13 of them, then the refs play after those games? Like, it's becoming pretty obvious. Like, there's simple ways to play the game, straight up and down. And, I felt like mentally these mistakes happen. Penalties, mistakes, frustration mistakes, puck play mistakes, they all happened in that same game. And that's frustrating because it was so good against Winnipeg. So good against Winnipeg on Monday.
But what did you ask me after that?
What did I ask you after that? Who was fast? Was the Sabres that fast or were Winnipeg that slow?
It's always a combination, right? But Philly looked like the more, I don't know. They just, look, in the Eastern Conference right now, in the last 10, Washington's 9-1, Tampa's 8-2, and Philly's 7-3. Those are your 3 best teams. So whatever your perception of the Flyers is, which I tried to say yesterday, like, they're a good team. And if you start gift wrapping things like this, it's going to be a long night. It ended up being a long night because I didn't like their third period, unfortunately. They didn't have like a major pushback in that third period. And normally you would see a little bit of a score effect situation, right? An onslaught, if you will.
You would. And it almost happened, but it was a clear offside. And I have no idea why the Flyers took a timeout to look at more video to challenge it. Like, they made the right decision, angle, so. But... it was a clear offside, so there was a little bit of a push, but it didn't matter. Even that goal going in, I didn't see like, the energy and the push that the Sabres needed to have. And it's game 1 of 6 on the road. Like, maybe the next 5 will be different and we'll chalk it up. But I can't chalk it up to, like, hey, it's one of those games. Like, if you were 7-2 in the last nine, and then you end up 7-3, and you say, let's put it aside. Like, it just was a bad game. But you can't do that now.
There's two things to take away that we have to discuss. Darren Dreger at the bottom of the hour. The Dahlin major penalty and the potential for any lasting effect, i.e. more discipline, but just how you viewed it and the takeaway moving forward.
So how I viewed it was Rasmus has had frustration moment in his career and those type of games where, you know, he plays on the edge and over the edge and can be dirty. And, you know, the guys on TNT said that's a dirty play. I would call him a sneaky dirty play where he gave the shot right to Zegras. I didn't think it was as forceful as maybe some thought it would be. I thought he gave him a push in the back of the numbers, but Zegras went into the boards with somewhat force and sold it a little bit. He played the rest of the game. He came back. So I thought Brian Boucher said it right. He said, I didn't think it was a five, but I also don't think it's a two. So there's no happy middle. Like, you can't give a 4-minute penalty. There's not a double minor penalty for those plays. It's not in the rule book. So the refs and the league are going to say, well, you know what? That's a five. Do I think there's a fine and a suspension coming? Personally, no, I don't. But I didn't think it was a five, but I also didn't think it was a two. So, well, you probably err on the side of cautious and you go with the five in that situation.
So I won't ask you who starts tomorrow, but I will discuss goaltending with you. So now what do you do? We did talk about Ellis on Saturday in the win over Minnesota. He, you know, rightfully, I think, because he's an honest kid, you know, talked about how that game ended. He didn't think he was great in the shootout, but they won. And you described him as doing everything possible, not always technically perfect in that game, to just try to, you know, battle through and give his team a chance, which he did. But then he didn't get the next start, but then he was back in last night. So where's Ellis at? But where are the three of them at as we now see the central and western portion, remaining five of this six-game trip?
So this is where the challenge is for a coaching staff and knowing you've got three and if you want to use three. Like, I've been in three goalie situations, and most of my three goalie situations were, we have a number one, we have a number two, and the third guy, sorry, you're practice guy. You're not playing, and you're not part of the equation. We're not going to make the schedule thinking you're playing a game. But right now, all three goalies are part of the schedule of playing a game. Like, if you had two goalies, if it was Luukkonen and Ellis, for example, okay, Luukkonen would go Friday, and Luukkonen would probably go Monday against Calgary, and then you'd play Ellis against the Oilers on Tuesday, and you're like, okay, well, you know what? That was a bad one, but we're going to get you back in. We have a back-to-back coming up. But because you have three, and if you looked at the schedule, well, Luukkonen would probably go Friday, and then depending on how that goes, you're probably going to go Luukkonen again because now he's the one that's had the best results of late. And then you're probably going Lion against the Oilers. And then you're probably coming back Luukkonen against Vancouver. And then, so all of a sudden you're like, okay, well, now I'm losing Colton Ellis. He won't play for 2 weeks after this game against the Flyers. And, you know, so that's what is tough right now. You need to win games. And yeah, despite the fact that all three goalies are basically an 890 or 895, 899 save percentage, there's a big difference in goals against average when you look at Luukkonen. And of late, he's been the steadier of the three. So you almost have to give him the bulk of the games like a number one and then figure out the other two are going to get the leftovers. Like, and probably right now it's Lyon getting the first shot at leftovers and Ellis, well, you wait.
Lyon's 899, Luukkonen 899, Ellis 892, team save percentage is 20th at 887. Tongue in cheek here. Is there a snowball's chance that Lyon sees the bulk of the games here?
No. I see what you're saying, snowball, because there was a moment that in the second period yesterday where the referee removed a, as the TNT broadcast said, a snowball's head, a snowman's head size snowball of the side of the net. back in the days, Duffer, I was so notorious for it. The referees hated me for it. I would go get snow behind the net, and I would put it on side of the net because of the wraparounds plays and the pass from behind, like the snow would affect it. Mm-hmm. And they used to come in and use their skate and remove the skate off the side of the net and throw it behind the net, and I would go get it again and put it on the side. What are they going to do? You can't do that? We'll give you a penalty? No, there's nothing they can do. Now they scrape the ice three times a period, mm-hmm. and they clean everything around the net. They do the whole ice. You don't have the snow effect that you used to. I was so like, what? Like, I've not seen a snowball that size on the ice in forever. And I don't even remember if the snowballs were that big when I played, despite the fact they didn't scrape the ice. So I was very like, what is going on here? Mm-hmm. And you know what it had to be? It had to have been where they did the cleaning of the ice in the previous commercial break. Mm-hmm. And they, as they were scooping, they must have left a chunk somewhere around the net. Mm-hmm. That's the only way I could see that happening. And they forgot it.
International Ice Hockey Hall of Fame, class of 2026. The inductees were named yesterday. There are two Sabre connections. Appropriately, number 26 in 26, Thomas Vanek will be going in to the International Ice Hockey Hall of Fame. So too will Ralph Krueger.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, when you think about the IIHF and, you know, the global hockey impact and so I can see how Thomas Vanek.
He's the second Austrian player ever to be inducted.
But I can see how he would be, something that the Austrian Ice Hockey Federation would really push for, saying, hey, listen, look at what this guy has done and how it's helped grow the game for us in Austria and everything. I'm a little surprised about Ralph Krueger, but whatever. No.
I think what's, If you shouldn't say you're surprised. You watched the rise of Switzerland for years, and it was always Krueger behind the bench. Like, the whole soccer thing that preceded Ralph being in Buffalo didn't matter to me because I knew about his legacy in the game as a guy that was able to take underdog teams in Switzerland and be able to match them up against clearly superior talents, right? So
But I, you know what I saw in Switzerland for years, and I went to Switzerland and worked at Francois Allaire's hockey school, mm-hmm. a goalie school in Switzerland, is goaltending. And if there is one person that had an impact in goaltending in the country of Switzerland, it was Francois Allaire, Benny Allaire's brother. Like, Benny is the goalie coach in New York, one of the goalie guru, but I went to Verbier in the Swiss Alps, and we were there for 3 weeks in the summer, and the amount of goalies and good goalies, the David Abisher and the Martin Gerbers and those guys, like, that to me, maybe I'm biased in the Swiss hockey thing. I said the reason why Switzerland was always good at the international level is because they'd always have good goaltending, mm-hmm. and the person that did that was Francois Allaire. So that's how I see it, but you're right. Was it Patrice Bergeron also going in? Cassie Campbell-Pascal going in? So there's some big names that are going to the IIHF Hall of Fame.
Big names around the National Hockey League last night, dazzled and disturbed. Dazzled again. Well, let me say this. Do I look more well-rested than normal? The answer is obviously no, because it doesn't matter when I go to bed.
I thought about you last night when I went to bed, because those late games were so bad. I'm like, Duffer will probably go to bed early.
I went to bed early, not because I get more sleep, just because I was really frustrated with what I was watching last night. But I will say this. I already knew of Ovechkin's success once again last night. Marty, the Capitals have won 6 in a row. Ovi has 14 goals. Yeah. He's 40 years old. He's again on pace for 41. He had 44 last year. Why am I still almost shocked that this continues? Like, this, he's 3 goals away from like being in the top 5 again in league scoring.
So now, for, you know how TV, radio works. You've been in the business for a long time. So this summer, free agent frenzy, I'm at TSN, and we're doing an Ovechkin little something. And our boss at TSN, Steve Dryden, the TSN quizmaster, and he's semi-retired, but he's always around. He's like, Marty, 40 and 40, 40 at 40 for Ovechkin. Do you believe it? I'm like, nah, I think 25. I think that's what he's going to get. He goes, I need you to make an argument that you believe it. I'm like, what do you mean? He goes, because I'm going to everybody and nobody believes it, but I want this in the show. So I need you to believe it. So I'm like, okay, I'll make the argument. 40 at 40 for Ovechkin. I'm all in. And so he calls me last week. He goes, hey, you were the 40 at 40 guy, right? I'm like, yeah, but I didn't believe it. So, yeah, so I was the one on record that said, yes, Ovechkin, 40 at 40. But I didn't believe it. And now, like, yeah, it's not the vintage Ovechkin, but he's finding other ways to score, like around the net and on rebounds and on backhands from the side, like his 900. It's like, what is going on here?
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you, so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you, and everyone on your list, at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores, or DSW.com.
With a shot glove high and wide, coming right back into the Flyer zone. Here's a drag through the middle. The ice scores! Byram jumps in. Quinn tried to take the middle. Puck was deflected away, and Byram pops on it. And the Sabres now down 4-2.
One of the Firth moments of the game, brought to you by Firth Jewelers. For the moments in your life, go forth to Firth. Sabres had a lead in Philly, gave up 3 goals in 59 seconds, ultimately fall to the Flyers, and now head out for a Western Conference swing against all of the Pacific Northwest teams. Closest one they don't play is what, like Colorado? Because they'll play Seattle, Vancouver, yeah. Edmonton, Calgary, Winnipeg. I guess you could play Minnesota on the way if you got in the schedule.
Yeah.
But that's who they do play.
Poor Zach Benson, by the way, who scored his first goal of the year later on in the game, and then it was overturned on an offside that I didn't think was offside at all, but whatever. That's by the way, I think Lindy's going to get torched today for that challenge. I thought it was a bad challenge. I also understood why he did it, because they've had two goals be overturned on plays that I think were less impactful than that play last night where the guy's stick touched Colton Ellis's block.
That's right. That happened at home against...
There was a goal where Tage brushed by the goalie and didn't even look like he touched him, and that got overturned, and there was another one in the next game after that.
Right. kind of like, all right, I've had two taken off the board for this. Let me make a challenge of the same
that's
style.
Kind of on the same level.
Yeah. 803-0550, Paul Hamilton later today, Sal later as well. We'll talk about the Bills and the Bengals, Joe Burrow and Josh Allen complimenting each other back and forth and tracking the injuries. T. Higgins has not been cleared to return yet, but he's limited in practice. The news on the Bills injuries, we've got plenty to get to on Josh Palmer and also on Joey Bosa. Bosa's hamstring. Sean McDermott decided to dig into the week-to-week thing more than anyone maybe has. I want to say week-to-week, but it might be 1-2, but maybe not 4-5. But so maybe we need an answer for what week-to-week might be. Weeks-to-weeks? Week-to-weeks?
Weeks-to-weeks.
Week-to-month?
Yeah.
I don't know. But Bosa's likely to miss this game. And from the sound of it, I think he's going to miss a couple. I think he'll miss New England, too. Paul in Buffalo is up next. Hey, Paul, good morning.
Let me give my regards to the bullpen, because for the core audience, the core listening audience, the bullpen makes the show just a ton more enjoyable, and I commend you guys for how much you interact with us. It's a lot of fun. What is not a lot of fun is watching another Buffalo Sabre icon get dragged through the mud by this owner. And Terry Pegula, I question your fanhood of this team, because your story about listening to the radio under the bridge wears thin after 50 years, because this is not the 1970s and the French Connection isn't playing anymore. And if it isn't the French Connection or Danny Gare, Terry Pegula does not care about this franchise. I don't care how many times he cries crocodile tears. They are so fake. He embarrassed Dominic Hasek in that pathetic jersey retirement ceremony for him. That was awful. I was there, and I'm still angry about it. He ran Pat LaFontaine out of town. And now we're watching Lindy Ruff's Hall of Fame resume get crumpled up and thrown in a dustbin every game. If I have to see Tage Thompson play wing one more shift, let alone one more game, I'm going to pull my hair out, and I have a gorgeous head of hair. Gorgeous.
Congratulations. And,
I mean, it is unbelievable. Tage the lazy winger. That's what I called him 2 weeks ago when I called in. I can't even call anymore because I get so frustrated.
So, Paul, to this point, I want to just mention something, because I had this written down, and I sent this to the group chat last night. If I'm the Sabres, if I'm Lindy, I put Norris at one center and I put Tage at another center spot, because what happens when you put Tage at center is he stays more engaged in games.
100%. He needs to play center.
Yep.
He's Tage the lazy winger. That's who he is. He's a great centerman. I don't get this, and I still don't know what he challenged on that goal challenge. I guess you're just shooting in the dark, but it reeked of desperation, and it killed the game. I think this coaching staff has cost this team at least 6 points already this year. It is killing me, and I want to thank the captain, though, because if you can't beat him up. Trevor Zegras, welcome to the boards, buddy. I don't have an ounce of sympathy for you or anyone in that puke orange jersey. And Nick DeLaurier has gone soft. He didn't want any part of a fight last night, and that's when Dunn should have punched him in the face anyway, because maybe he's injured and you got an advantage on him. We should play dirty and dirtier every game, because we're not good enough to win. We're not going to make the playoffs. The season is done, so we might as well beat teams up, because at least that's fun. There's no doubt in my mind the two best moments of the year were Tage Thompson beating up Stefan Noesen and Rasmus Dahlin introducing Trevor Zegras to the boards. Take that, you fancy long-haired boy. See you later, guys.
Thanks, Paul. 803-0550. How obvious is it, though, about Tage? Like, he should be at center because he's more engaged.
I definitely agree that he should be at center. I definitely agree he should be at center.
He has
the lineup is better with him there. Yeah. He's better when he's there. I think historically that's pretty much proven true. He gets more ice. So hasn't there always been a back and forth about whether that's because he wants to play wing or because they like him on wing? There's always been a confusing element there.
He played center and he was it's where his career breakout came.
Right. So
he gets to handle the puck more. He gets to dangle more.
I wondered if he's playing wing or has wanted to play wing so he could show Team USA that he could play on the wing, because they have elite centers.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Is that ridiculous, by the way, to think that that's even possible, that he's requested to play wing because he thinks it gives him a better chance to make Team USA?
I don't think that's ridiculous. I just don't know if the Sabres would ever care about that or why they should. Like, he might mention it. I don't know. I don't know.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit DetectTheSOS.com to learn more.